We have our own little tabernacle choir right here in this family. Don't you think, Jeannie? Well, for those of you who don't know me, I'm Nancy. I'm the baby of the family. Kind of a big baby right now. Most of the memories that I want to share are towards the end of his life, past 6 or 7 years. And a couple of them stem from his past and I've managed to carry through his life, like the cat story. My dad didn't like cats very much. But we always managed to have one or two running around the house. Now, my mom tells this story in her book a little bit differently than us kids seem to remember it. We had a couple of cats, and this one cat named Slink, a tabby cat, disappeared, just up and disappeared one day. And it had to have been at least a month. We were down in the basement, and here comes the cat to the door. We yelled, "Mom, the cat's back." "Oh, no, he's not. Must be someone else's cat." "No, it's the cat. I've got to see this." So she comes downstairs, and we open the sliding glass door, and that cat jumped right up into our arms. And we knew it was our cat because this cat used to drink out of the tap in the bathroom, and that's straight where it went. It was thirsty, and it was all shaggy and ragged, like it had been through a few fights on the way home. And turns out that Dad had taken the cat for a ride. Apparently more than once. Well, I like cats, and I have a couple of cats now. I live across the street from him. And those cats are just like dogs. They follow me everywhere. And I'm several times a day, I'll go over to the house and check on him. And sometimes in the middle of the night, and those cats would follow me over, even in the middle of the night. And every morning, they'd jump up in Dad's windowsill and watch him eat breakfast. They wanted some too, I'm sure. And he'd look out and see those cats and go, "What do those cats want? Whose cats are those? Get those cats out of here." Those cats would always try to sneak in the house. Every time I'd go in, they'd try to run in front of me, get in the door. But they learned pretty quick that they needed to stay clear of Dad's feet. They'd get a quick, swift kick on the behind. Well, later on, when Dad was losing his ability to write, even sign his name, we had great caregivers. They were awesome. And they played a little game with him, a little game called Pictionary, where they'd start drawing something and they'd test him to see if he knew what they were drawing. One of the caregivers drew a picture and he guessed what it was, and they handed him the pencil and says, "Now you draw something." And usually when they did that, he'd write his name, he'd sign his name. Last thing he ever wrote, and I've saved it on a little piece of paper. They gave him the piece of paper and he wrote, "No cats." And he underlined it twice with an exclamation mark. I think my cats loved him anyway, because the morning he passed away, the living room curtains were open and it was dark outside. It was late. My kitty jumped up on the terrace, which is quite a climb for him, and was meowing at the window. I wanted to come in. I think animals can sense death. And I listened to her meow for a long time. And my heart kind of broke for her, and I finally let her in. I thought, well, I could use some comfort. And I picked her up and put her in my arms and petted her for a little while, and I thought, this is probably terrorizing poor Dad. Kind of disrespectful to have this cat in the house. And so I put her down and I put her out and shut the door. It wasn't 5 minutes, she was back on the terrace crying again. He passed away about 10 minutes later, and maybe we can joke that the cat finally, he probably thought, "I'm not hanging around here anymore as long as this cat's here." kind of a sweet ending. But another time when Dad and I were, or Doug and I were dating, I wanted Doug to come to church with me. And my dad agreed, okay, he can come. And they went on ahead of us. I was waiting for Doug to show up, and we were late for church. And when we got in the front door down here to come to church, Dad was there waiting for me. And he walked right up to Doug, and he was mad. He doesn't get mad very often. And he pointed his finger at Doug, and he said, "Don't you ever bring my daughter to church late, ever again." Well, the Sunday after he passed away, I was in a scramble getting ready for church. And I told Doug, I don't want to be late. Dad wouldn't want me to be late. I've got to be on time. But we were really pushing the clock. And when we got here, we were just a little bit late. And he says, I need to have a talk with your dad because I'm not the reason you're late for church. Well, I'm sure he knows that now. He'd probably do a lot of apologizing to you, Doug. My parents came to me about 7 years ago and asked me if I'd be willing to look after them in their old age, and I've been their primary caregiver ever since. The first time they asked me, probably came to me several times and said, now, you know, we want you to take care of us in our old age. I said, well, you know, that's not a problem. I'd be happy to. You know, it's a good thing I live close. I just lived about a mile away. And they said, oh, no, we want you to live by us. We don't want you to move in. They wanted their space, but they wanted me to live by them. And so we checked out all the available properties in the neighborhood and just couldn't find anything. And Mom was pretty determined, and she decided to check into a little house across the street that was Tom Cheney's. And he had passed away, and his former wife was not living there. She was in a rest home, and she said, let's call the children and see if they want to sell you the house. We really want you to move now. We're getting old. So we called the children, and they agreed to sell us the house. And we were thrilled. Now, I kind of took my time designing the house. We lived in a rental for nearly a year, and Mom kept calling. She's very persistent. How long does it take to design a house? When are you going to get building that house? Well, I think she was inspired, because we weren't more than maybe a month into building that house when she found out she had ovarian cancer. I was the general contractor on the home, and in between subs and clearing away all the construction debris, I was over there cleaning her house and fixing her meals and taking her to chemo. My faithful daddy would be right by her side every time we went to chemotherapy, and it was all afternoon when you went for chemotherapy. He'd sit there and he'd try to get her to drink the juice they offered or eat the crackers that they offered. And he was always trying to get her to do little exercises, strengthen her up. He was always really worried about her. He had a love and concern for my mom that I had never seen as a child. I was kind of a selfish child. I was more into myself than what was going on around me. But I noticed when I started caring for them that they were so sweet to each other. Just they loved each other so dearly, and they had fun together. They would sing, you know, tunes I'd never heard in my lifetime. They'd sing them together, and Mom would forget the words, and Dad would remind her, and oh yes, and they'd continue singing the tune. And they were holding hands, and if they weren't holding hands, Mom would read the paper to him. And they would laugh and joke together. That was really cute. They'd sit and comment on the birds that were, attending the bird feeder outside the window. At one point, there came a time with Mom's cancer that we decided we needed to plan a funeral, and we asked her if she'd be willing to help plan her own funeral. And she reluctantly agreed. We thought, well, this is a good time to get Dad in here, too. We'll get Dad in here at Clara's funeral. And he said, no, not having anything to do with that. He let us know that he's going to live to be 100, and he had plenty of time to plan a funeral. Well, he never did plan his funeral, but I think he'd be really proud. his grandchildren and his children and what they've done with their lives and their talents. He hung in there a long time, though, too, and I think he tried to live to be 100. He insisted on daily walks around the MTC, sometimes twice a day, and that was a good mile the first time and two the second. So he had a really strong heart. He hung in there for a long time to fight that battle, and he endured well. Mom told me once that she hoped she could outlive Dad because she was worried that he might rush off and marry another woman. She was a little jealous. She courageously fought her battle with cancer for 2.5 years and passed away with him asleep at her side. I promised her two things before she died. One, that I would take the very best care of Dad that I could for her. And I told her I'd do my best to keep him from getting married. I think I pretty much kept both of those promises. I hired around 7 or 8 really sweet and beautiful caregivers to care and entertain my dad around the clock. And several brethren in the ward commented to me that they thought Dad was the luckiest guy in the world. I would have to agree, because he was always surrounded with beautiful women who would dance with him and walk with him and go to BYU with him, prepare delicious and nutritious meals for him, cheer him up when he was sad, and read scriptures to him, say his prayers with him, and at the end of the day, they would fluff his pillow and tuck him into bed, turn on some soothing music, and often massage his legs and feet to help him get to sleep. Despite being surrounded by beautiful women day in and day out, nothing seemed to make him happier than driving to the cemetery to place a pretty bouquet of flowers on Mother's memorial. I missed a little story I was going to tell you about my mom. Well, I wanted to tell you why I brought the picture. Dad used to take me in his office and he'd point to this picture and he'd say, "If I ever get to the celestial kingdom, that's what I get." And I have no doubt that he's in the celestial kingdom right now. In my mind, I like to picture that he's reunited with Mom. The thought of that is worth everything to me. If my dad were here today, and I believe that he probably is, I'd want him to know how very blessed I am to have a father like him, so generous and so sweet and gentle. And I want to thank him for trusting me in his care. I'm such a lucky girl. I know that the experiences I've had and the things I've learned and the people I've met in caring for Dad will continue to have a positive effect on my life. Thanks, Dad. I love you. Dad, it's not Doug's fault. I'm always late for church. I'll try a little harder to be on time. Say this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.